just thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for life, and life, not just an average life, but abundant life. I thank you, God, for supernatural life in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that you have given us your life. And Lord, we worship you today. We are so blessed with all that you've given us. We are a thankful people. God, I just pray that you would just minister to hearts today. I pray that you would open our spirits right now. Open us up, God, to your word and to what you would want to do, to what you would want to say in this time, in this hour. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much. We just lean into you, Holy Spirit. We lean into you. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. We worship you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. We love you. Just say, I love you, Jesus. Say it one more time. I love you, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So I got this message. As I was just kind of praying, we're coming into a great week. One of my favorite weeks, Thanksgiving. I just love Thanksgiving. Anybody else? Any others out there? I love the gathering. I love the eating. I love the pumpkin pie. I love anything pumpkin, pumpkin lattes. No, but I there's something so special and something so beautiful and unique about this holiday, Thanksgiving. And as I just begin to just kind of meditate on Thanksgiving, I begin to realize that the Lord has given us such a beautiful and powerful spiritual key. And it is the key of gratitude. And there's such a thing as gratitude that will open up doors for you. And that will open up things that you could not open in your own natural strength if you have a heart that is positioned in thanksgiving and positioned in gratitude. And I was just reminded of a couple scriptures. And today might sound a little different. I'm not going to go too long. But just bear with me for a little bit. But Psalm 100 . It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. It just says, I'll read a few verses, actually. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Woo! Come on, make a joyful shout. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Hallelujah. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Amen. Be thankful. Say, be thankful. Be thankful. And bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. I love that. Let's read verse 4 one more time. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Amen. Let's read Psalm 107, and I'll let you know where we're going. Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, I like verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on. That's But it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And so I've just been thinking about this thing of thanksgiving. You know, we got this little sign, thankful hearts prepare the way. And that's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit today, is how a heart of gratitude and a thankful heart will literally prepare the way in your life and prepare the way for God to move mightily in your life. And so as I was just thinking on this, I don't know about you, but I love history, and I love to just look back at history, church history, but also just world history, American history. I love to look back at the failures. I love to look back at the success stories. I love to learn where people made it and where they missed it. And so I was just kind of just fascinated with this thing of Thanksgiving. And I started looking up all these different dates, and I was just kind of overwhelmed by the power of this little holiday. And I just want to share a couple of very important dates with you that in American history, because I feel like this Thanksgiving that we're entering into, this isn't a prophecy, but I feel in my heart, in my spirit, I feel like this is going to be, this is one of the most significant Thanksgivings of our lifetime. It is. I really believe it is. And I'm gonna prove that to you in just a moment. But I wanna give you a couple of dates in history where this was just an amazing feast, an amazing holiday, and what the Lord ended up doing. Is that okay? Obviously, we know 1621. I'm backing up. 1621 was the very first Thanksgiving, right? It was when the pilgrims came. They came on the Mayflower, and they came escaping tyranny. Escaping tyranny, escaping persecution, and they just wanted a place where they can worship freely. They wanted a place where they can just worship their Lord without all these regulations, without all these rules, without all the rituals. They wanted a place of their own. And they find America. They come to this place. But yeah, they didn't know how to live in America. They didn't know about the harsh, intense winters of the East Coast. The East Coast can get bitter cold, right? And so they're over there on the East Coast, and it begins to get freezing. Half of them die. And they don't even make it to summer. Half of them are gone. And they meet the Native Americans, and they teach them how to live off the land. They teach them how to hunt. They teach them how to farm. And obviously, we know the story. They have this beautiful meal that November, and it's this amazing moment of gratitude. But, just think about it in the context of they just walked through hell. They just walked through a horrible, horrible, wretched season. And now they're just saying, God, thank you. Lord, I thank you. I don't know what the future holds, but my heart is grateful today. I have food on my table today. I have people that love me today. And I am thankful for this day because you have made this day. And it's such a beautiful, this is how it all began. 1621. But it doesn't even stop there. I got a few more. 1789. Say 1789. Sorry, you're in history class today. So 1789 was a very powerful date. This was the date that our first U.S. president, George Washington, was put into place. Did you know that? George Washington was set into place in 1789, as well as the first American Congress. And so this was a very important year. And what does George Washington do in his first year as the sitting president of the American of the United States of America? He says November 26th is going to be a day of prayer. It's going to be a day of thanksgiving. It's going to be a day of praise to our God in heaven. And he speaks this out over the land. And why is this significant? Why is this powerful? Well, because look at what America at that point had just gone through, the American Revolutionary War. They had just seen so many die. They were lacking identity. They were lacking in hope, in purpose, and so many things. They were a very young nation. Who are we? Is this America experiment even going to work? What are we doing? And he says, in the midst of not knowing who we are, in the midst of hopelessness, in the midst of all this stuff, he says, we must gather together, remember, be grateful, and pray. It's super significant. 1863. Are you going to crack open the Bible? Yes, I will crack open the Bible. 1863, Abraham Lincoln. Come on, good old honest Abe. Abraham Lincoln, the founder of the Republican Party, he's the one that started. And he had this really a dream and the desire in his heart to abolish slavery, to be done with it, because it was ungodly, it was not biblical. And so he led the charge in totally dismantling this thing. And in 1863, he declares Thanksgiving will be a federal holiday. Okay, track it with me just for a few more minutes. So he says, so we got 1621, we got 1789, we got 1863. He says this will be a federal holiday. This will be a day where we gather and we praise our Father in heaven, where we are grateful. This will be a day. And why, again, look at the timelines here. Now, 1863, the Civil War is in full force. The Civil War is raging in our country. Over 620,000 people are killed. Talk about a time of disunity. Talk about a time of hopelessness, despair. It's right now. It's right there. And what does he say? He says, we can't come under this, but we have to remember where we've come from. Amen. Remember what the Lord still wants to do. Amen. In the midst of warfare, in the midst of confusion, Abraham Lincoln recognized that it is about the position of our heart. It is about a heart posture. You don't have to come under the warfare. You don't have to come under all the stuff that's happening around us. That we position our heart. We stay humble. We stay grateful. We stay thankful. And God can move in mighty ways in our nation, in our church, in our families with a grateful heart. Amen. It prepares the way for God to invade in supernatural ways. Amen. Hallelujah. This is good. I was just reading these dates. I was just getting so blessed the other day. 1941. We're almost done. 1941. Roosevelt, he declared Thanksgiving would be a national holiday. 1941. So look at all these. These are very important dates in American history. But 1941, he says, I encourage it's not a federal holiday anymore. This is a national holiday, and we are going to take a day to be grateful. We are going to take a day to pray. We're going to take a day to seek the Lord. We're going to take a day to remember where we've come from and to remember where we're going. What's happening in this year? Any history buffs out there or any people? World War II. World War II is happening, and the world is in absolute chaos. Europe is on fire. And people don't know what to do. And now America is being pulled into this war. And on November 25th, a radio call is intercepted. On November 25th, 1941, a radio call is intercepted. And they hear this, that there is an imminent attack coming to America. That it is coming. An attack is definitely coming on American soil. The day before Thanksgiving. And so what do they do? What do these leaders do? What do these Americans do? In the midst of an enemy attack, in the midst of knowing that an enemy force wanted to kill, destroy, and do horrible things, they say, we must gather. We must pray. We must be grateful. We must remember where we've come from and remember where we're going. And we know that obviously just a week or a week and a half after that, Pearl Harbor. And it was a horrible attack on American soil, which brought us into World War II in a way that we had not anticipated being involved. But God was faithful. And I believe with all my heart that if you could find a few people, a remnant, a church that is a grateful people and not coming under the spiritual climate and the spiritual atmosphere of whatever it is, I believe he can find a people that he could pour his spirit on. I believe he can find a people that can lead the charge. And so I list all these dates because I feel like we've come to this point in history, 2020, where it feels like all those dates wrapped up into one. You know, like, it feels like 2020 has just been like, you know, the Civil War and everything just kind of mushed into one year. And you're like, wow, this is a lot for one year. It is a lot. And there's been viruses, and it's not just an America thing. It's literally a global pandemic, right? And there's riots, and there's lockdowns, and there's fear, spirit of fear, and there's civil unrest, and there's disunity, and there's spiritual warfare, and there's psychological warfare. You know, and that's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to beat us down emotionally. He wants to beat us down mentally, spiritually, physically, every way he can. And again and again and again over months and months and months until finally the person, the Christian, the individual wants to just give up. Give up on God, give up on the church, give up on marriage, give up on family, give up on business, give up on whatever that thing is. He wants to just take us out up here. But we were born for such a time as this. Amen. And so I speak those dates over you because I truly just feel that this Thursday, and we need to be a praying church every day, a worshiping church every day, but there's something significant about Thanksgiving because it is a call to all Americans where people are off work and we gather around the table and we remember what's good and we remember what's awesome and we remember what we're thankful for. And so this is a day that I feel more than any other day, I think we can come together and we can truly remember all that God has done in our lives and we can remember what he wants to do. Amen? Amen. And I want to give you a couple verses that kind of back this up and then we're going to just worship a little bit. You could turn into Joshua chapter 4. I love the book of Joshua and I love the book of Exodus. I love the book of Numbers. I love reading the story of Moses, and I love the story of deliverance, and I love the faith, and I love the miracles, and there's so much to learn from Moses' life. And but we know that the children of Israel had wandered for 40 years. And they'd seen so much discouragement and so much hopelessness and mistrust. You know, they're at the end of the day, it was like they're just not trusting the Lord. They're not trusting in the word that he had spoken. And so they keep going around and around and around. And now we come to this point in Joshua where they are about to step in to their land. Somebody say hallelujah. They're about to step into the promised land. And it was the land that they had been literally promised. It was the land that they had been believing for. And so what happens? This powerful miracle, the Jordan River, is God miraculously splits it in two. And it's like this Red Sea moment all over again. I'm sure there were some of the old timers in the group. They're like, oh, I remember this. You know, this is pretty cool. And they walk right through. It is an amazing miracle. And but you know that once they got to the other side, once they got to their land, they didn't just like say, hey, get me a lawn chair, get me a recliner, get me a lazy boy. Like, we're here. Somebody get me a pina colada. Like, if you like pina colada. That's not what it was. They knew that if they got to the other side, it meant war. It meant there are people that want to kill us. But it's our land. And we're free. And we're here. We're free from slavery of Egypt. We're in our land. God has given us a word. And if he's for us, who could be against us? And so they knew that it wasn't going to be this place of stagnation. It was going to be a place of being intentional. It was going to be a place of battle. It was going to be a place where they have to steward the land. Amen. But we have this moment where they all cross through, and Joshua is now speaking, or the Lord speaks to Joshua, and here's what he says. Joshua chapter 4 says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when children ask in time, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you shall answer them and say, the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Amen. So I was just I was just kind of thinking about that and just kind of fascinated with this story, with this picture of, because we've seen the children of Israel cross through something even larger, the Red Sea. But God had a different plan this time. And he said, I don't want you wandering anymore. And I don't want you to forget what I've done. And so I want you to reach into that miracle. I want you to reach in to the deliverance. And I want you to grab a stone. And that stone represents testimony. And it's like God just really began to speak to me that sometimes you literally have to reach into that place that seemed hopeless. You have to reach back into that place that was like full of despair. It was full of pain. It was full of anger. It was full of brokenness. You have to reach into that and pull something living out, which becomes a testimony for all to see. And you set it down and people say, oh my gosh, the Lord is truly good. And so it's this place, you reach into that place, but it's not just the place of brokenness, it's also the place of deliverance. It's the place of the miraculous, the place of the miracles. And so you reach into that river and you pull something out. Hallelujah. And you set it at the feet of Jesus, and you set it before your children, and you set it at the Thanksgiving table, and you say, man, I was messed up, but God set me free. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. God set me free. You grab a stone from the midst of where you are. And you're like, give me something to back that up. And I love the stories in the Gospels. I love what Jesus said. And I love the story of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. And it's all going to tie in together. Just track with me for a minute. Luke 17, it says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Who? He's talking about the lepers. Go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were all cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice, he began to glorify God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, and he gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 people cleansed? just asking here. But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. I want you to think about this story just for a minute. This here is a man, and as well as all the other lepers. They were beggars. They were deformed. They had to, you know, obviously just beg for food, beg for money. They were the outcasts of society, and they found themselves in a very uncomfortable place, and here comes Jesus, and they hear about Jesus, and so they want a miracle. They want a touch. They want a word, and I love that Jesus is so good. I love that his will is to heal all, and that his nature is to release the goodness of God, the grace of God over every situation. And so all of these men receive a miracle. Can you say amen? Amen. And that is just the beauty of Jesus and the goodness of God, the grace of God, that it just extends beyond everything that we could comprehend. Even when we don't deserve it, his grace reaches us. His mercy reaches us. And so I love the story that everybody gets a touch. But when you really begin to like think about it and unpack it, it's like, where were they after the touch? Only one returned. And it's in that attitude of gratitude that he begins to have real relationship with Jesus. That he begins to have a connection with Jesus. And so think about, like, he just walked through. I mean, maybe the other guys were like this. They're like, I'm healed. I'm getting out of here. I don't want anybody to know that I was ever a leper. I'm gonna make a life for myself. I'm taking off these dirty clothes. I'm going to live different. I'm ashamed of who I was. I'm ashamed of my old life. I'm ashamed of what I used to look like. And so I'm going to begin to live differently. Nobody's ever going to know I was a leper. just it could have gone down like that. But this man said, oh my gosh, I was begging, I was dying, and Jesus saved me. I'm going to reach back into this place of hurt. I'm going to reach back into this place of brokenness, into this place of sickness, and I'm going to grab a living stone. And so you say, well, how do you grab living stones? How do you grab, how do you reach back into your parted sea? How do you reach back into that place? It's through gratitude. See, thankfulness and a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of I love you, Jesus. I'm thankful, Jesus. It is the heart of gratitude that allows you to look back and grab those things and place it before his feet and just say, I thank you. And it is also, it's just this beautiful thing. And so it's gratitude that brings relationship. Gratitude restores relationship. Gratitude brings reconciliation. Amen? Hallelujah, I love that. We'll get back to that in just a second. John chapter 6 is also a wonderful story of gratitude. John chapter 6. And Patrick, you can come up and just strum for a little bit. I'm not going to go too long today. I just really in my heart was to give you a couple scriptures and to share a few things from our story, our history, but then to have a practical application where we can just worship together. And really just point our affection, attention to Jesus. But in John chapter 6, we see the story of feeding the 5,000. And you know the story. There's 5,000 people. I mean, that's a lot of people. A lot of hungry people. And they recognize that these people have been traveling day and night and they're hungry. And so they say, Jesus, these people are really hungry. And he says, well, what do you have? What do you got? And they're like, well, we got a couple fish and a couple pieces of bread. And he's like, oh, just give them to me. And I love that response of Jesus. You know, it wasn't like, oh man, like that's all we have. All we have is two fish and a couple pieces of bread. There's no way we can feed. No, like he did not look at what he didn't have. But he looked to the Father. I think many times in my life, instead of taking that little bit and offering it to Jesus as a thank you, as a I love you, many times I just begin to look at what this person has or look at what that person has. Look at how full that plate is over there. Look at how full that church is over there. Look at how full that bank account, whatever it is, you begin to look at all these things. But God says, don't look at all this stuff. Just look at what I've given you and begin to lift it to the Lord. And this is exactly what happens. And he says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So they... when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Hallelujah. Therefore, they gathered them up and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over. Amen. But I just want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about Jesus taking nothing, taking something that couldn't feed even him and his disciples, and lifting it to the Father and just saying thank you. There's something so powerful about a heart of gratitude that it will restore relationships. It helps you to pull back that memorial stone and say, I remember. I remember. But it also brings multiplication. It also brings miracles. It brings mass miracles in your life when we can have and maintain a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude. And so I just want you to just close your eyes with me for a minute. there's so much going on in our country. There's unrest and there's disunity. Wars and rumors of wars. People attacking each other. Virus and lockdown and all these things. But God says, can you be grateful for what I've given you? Can you hold up the little bit that you have and say thank you? Can you take your little piece and just say, I am thankful. I am a grateful person. See, we've seen it through history. We've seen it through the Bible. And we've seen it through our American history. If people will just stop for one moment and not get caught up in the ground war, not get caught up in spiritual warfare to the point where it's killing you, but you will take a moment and just say, God, I thank you. Lord, I love you. And I remember. I remember that you split that sea. I remember, Lord, and my children are going to remember. And my grandchildren are going to remember. And we're not going to wander in the desert for 40 years. See, that was the essence of what the Lord was wanting them to do. He didn't want them wandering aimlessly anymore. So that when the children and the grandchildren would look at this, it would be a sign and a wonder. They would say, this is when the Lord delivered us. This is when we begin to step into our promised land. This is when a mighty miracle occurred. And we choose to remember. And we choose to be grateful. A thankful heart prepares the way. A thankful heart prepares the way. I know there's all kinds of things that can try to steal our joy in this season of life. And there's so many things that are trying to cause us to be anxious. But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. And that's just not a nice little word and a little cliche thing, but it is the truth of God. It is the word of God. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts. So, Father, we just thank you for this time in history. That you've given us a moment, Lord. Where we can just be grateful. Where we can be a people of praise. Let our praise be louder than the warfare. Let our praise be louder than all the commotion. Let our prayers and our praise and our hearts of thanksgiving be louder than all the stuff happening around us. God, we thank you. We thank you. I just want you just to take a moment and just begin to thank him. Just thank him for what's in your life. Thank him for what you have. Not for what you don't have. Thank him for what he's given you. Thank him for your spouse. Thank him for your child. Thank him for your job. Thank him for all the good things that the Lord has done. Thank him for splitting the sea. Truly believe we've come to a point in time where it's about the position of our heart. And so we're just going to take a few minutes and to allow the Holy Spirit to do some chiropractic work on our hearts, on our backs, our spirit. And if you need to come up here and kneel and stand or whatever and just be thankful. And just as a prophetic act, I feel like there's even some that would need to come up to the front as if you were grabbing your stone, as if you were coming up here and grabbing that memorial stone. And I just want you just to be in this place for a minute and just remember and just thank Him and love Him and picture yourself picking up that stone of remembrance, picking up what God has done and not forgetting His faithfulness, not forgetting His goodness in your story, not forgetting how He brought deliverance when you were 19, how He set you free, how He brought reconciliation to your family, to your marriage, how He restored you, how when you were going bankrupt, He brought deliverance, He brought an answer, He brought hope when there was no hope. He is hope. Jesus is hope. Hope is a person. And so God, we just look to You, author and the finisher of our faith. And we just declare over the Eastern Sierras that we are a thankful people, that we remember, God. We remember who we are, and we remember who You are in the land of America right now. With all the battles, with all the chaos, we choose to remember. We choose to worship. We choose to thank You, God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just set your gaze on Him. Set your focus on Him. Let's just worship Him.
All the saints and angels bow before Your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing. All the saints and angels bow before Your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing. You worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. For from You are all things. To You are all things. Deserve the glory, yes, Lord. You worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. For from You are all things. To You are all things. You deserve the glory, all the saints. All the saints and angels bow before Your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing. You worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. For from You are all things. To You are all things. You deserve the glory. You worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. For from You are all things. Are all things. You deserve the glory.
We're going to keep worshiping for a minute, but I just want to share this. Just stay focused, engaged. I just had, I remembered this dream I had a while back. In the dream, there was this group of people that were, I knew where they were going. They were running with the Lord. They were on fire. They were a force to be reckoned with. And they were just going for it. And all of a sudden, this group of people enter into this big house and they go up all these winding stairs. And I was in this group and we go up these winding stairs and we find ourselves in this gigantic living room. And we're all sitting there and everybody, the scene just kind of changed. And instead of being this on fire, passionate group of people, everybody was just kind of comfortable. And just kind of sitting back and all over the room and just kind of forgetting about their fire and forgetting about their first passion and love. And so here I am in this room and I'm sitting there and I'm sitting in this big chair and I look above me in this dream and I see this gigantic moose head. And I actually was having a dream in Wyoming, so... something that you would definitely see in a house. But I see this gigantic moose head. And the moose in my dream leans over to me, the moose head, and it says, "Don't forget about me." And then I wake up. I'm like, oh my gosh, I must have had some pizza. But I begin to just kind of study a little bit about the moose, and I begin to find out the moose, this powerful animal, this majestic, powerful animal, was being plucked off, picked off by the wolves that had been introduced and brought back by the wolves. And the wolves were cornering them and destroying them and killing them so that they weren't just running free all over. And I just began to pray into this, and I felt like that's where many Christians are at. The world has come. The cares of the world has come. COVID has come. Hopelessness has come. All that could come and tries to kill your fire and kill your dream and kill your passion. And I'm like, Lord, why was the moose head speaking to me? And I just felt like it represented everything that I had done. It represented everything that I had done in Mongolia. It represented all the miracles that I had seen, the testimonies that I had experienced in my own life. And now it had just become a memory. And now it had just become a plaque on a wall. And the Lord said, "Do not forget what I've done in your life. Do not forget the miracles that I've worked in your life. Do not forget how I saved you when you were crying out from a rehab at 19 years old. Do not forget the miracles that I've worked in you." And I feel this is the word of the Lord for everybody in this room. We've gone through life. We've gone through hell and back. But the Lord says, do not forget. Do not forget. And so I want to take another few minutes and we'll be done. But just lift your gaze, lift your hearts, lift your eyes to Jesus. If you've forgotten your first love, if you've lost your fire, this is a perfect time to come back. It's a perfect time to renew your relationship with Christ. And allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on you this morning. And let's remember, let's be a people that remember. Let's be a people that are grateful. What will be written about us in the history books? What will our children say about us? Oh, mom and dad, they were grateful. They were praying all the time. They were worshiping in the midst of difficult situations. They never gave up. They never lost heart. They kept their fire. They kept their first love. Come on, let's just say thank you to Him. Let's worship Him. I believe the Lord is in this place. He wants to just touch and move on hearts right now. It starts with a thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your perfect love. You paid the price for me. You worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yeah. You worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. Day and night. Night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day. You worthy of it all. Glory, you worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. Thank you, Lord, for from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. Let me out of the desert, brought me into his streams, river of living water, turned my bitter into sweet, and all my burdens are lifted. You took the shackles off my feet, and there's no sound louder than captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness. Let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yeah. We celebrate you, God. Celebrate you, Lord. You are good. There's joy in the morning, springing up in my soul. There's a life worth living, 'cause he calls me his own. Hallelujah, yeah. After sweet victory, 'cause there's no sound louder than a captive set free. There's no sound louder than a captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. deliverer. You are my promised land. You are my deliverer. The freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer. You are my promised land. Oh, you are my deliverer. The freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer. You are my promised land. You are my deliverer. The freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer. You are my promised land. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of His promises evermore. Let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes, Lord. I just want us on the count of three just to lift up a shout. A big thank you to our King in heaven. To the King who sits on the throne, to the King that lives in your... Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we love you. And we thank you, Lord. We choose this day to be a grateful people. Lord, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day this year into 2021, we choose to be a grateful people. We love you, Lord. We remember. We honor you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. I encourage you.
Faithful, faithful, you are, yeah. promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Oh, all your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen.